Bound is close.
First edition of Kickoff, the Couch Experts football podcast featuring our couch pundits, if I could use that term here. We're joined by a panel larger in size than the ones that you're usually used to seeing as part of Silly Point, our cricketing podcast. Not that it indicates that football has a greater following than cricket out here in India, but that it isn't that far behind. We're joined today by a Manchester United fan, a couple of Liverpool fans, which includes myself, and an Arsenal fan, and we're here to discuss what's going on in the Euros and get each of their transfer wish list for the summer. After all, club scouts play an active role in scouting youngsters during such tournaments. We've seen this in the past. You see their market value exponentially rise with every outstanding performance. And we've already seen a few clubs invest in players before the Euros came into play. I mean, Chelsea have gone ahead and signed Eden Hazard for a sum of £32 million. Manchester United has signed Borussia Dortmund star Shinji Kagawa for around £17 million. Arsenal closing in on Giroud, the French striker. But more on that later. Let me get straight into introducing the panelists joining us today. I will start with a familiar name, Niranjan Kuppan, who joined us for a cricketing podcast a couple of weeks ago. Niranjan, incidentally, is a Liverpool fan like myself. Niranjan, are you keeping close tabs on the Euros and potential Brenda Roger targets for this summer?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? Excited by anyone in particular?
Not really. I don't think Liverpool is that good club to attract big names. So, I'm not so much. Let's see, a playmaker and a poacher.
Okay, and who are you rooting for this Euros?
I'm going with England.
England. Interesting choice. So, right, let me move on to introducing our next set of panelists. And incidentally, they are Pepsi Football T20 Tournament's Bengaluru City runners-up. We have with us Gaurav, an Arsenal fan, and Gautam, a Manchester United fan. Gaurav, let me begin with you. I mean, there were fears after three quarters of the season last season that you'd finish below your North London rivals Tottenham Hotspur. In the end, are you happy with Arsenal finishing third last season?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with what went last season. Started off on a bad note, Arsenal. We were lagging behind Tottenham Hotspur, and that was a nightmare for all of us. Happy at the end that they overtook Tottenham Hotspur and finished third and qualified for the Euros.
Thanks largely to Robin van Persie. He picked up 30 all goods last season.
Yeah, he's been a captain fantastic for us.
Yeah, you're hoping that he'd stay this summer, wouldn't he?
That'd be the case with Oliver, Gerrard and Podolski coming in. I think it'll be very exciting to see all three of them play up front.
Yes, I'm sure that you're looking forward to such a prospect. And let's move on to our next panelist, Gautam from Bengaluru, a Manchester United fan. Gautam, what was your take on that outstanding last day drama that we all witnessed? I mean, Sergio Aguero came and broke all your hearts, didn't he?
Yes, it did. Absolutely. I mean, we thought that it was here, it was for us, I mean, till the last second. But again, for a Manchester United fan, yes, I was a lot disappointed. Next day morning, we woke up and still like a dream. What happened, we didn't know. But as a football fan, I think it was a great season. The best probably that we will see or we would have seen.
Yes, I largely agree to that. I mean, every Manchester fan could recollect what happened back in Barcelona when you guys beat Bayern Munich with two goals in injury time to capture the Champions League. I guess this time you were on the receiving end. So, well, I guess what goes around comes around. So let's get into the first topic for our discussion today, which is Euro 2012. And the Euros have already seen one of their hosts being knocked out. I mean, Poland losing out to the Czech Republic. Greece shockingly knocking out the Russians. I mean, Greece had a wonderful tournament back in 2004 where they had five men sitting in defense, looking to stay in their own half, not attacking, and the occasional counterattack with their lone striker Angelos Charisteas grabbing in a few goals with his head to take Greece to glory back in 2004. And shockingly, this season, we find Holland in a spot of bother this tournament. Gaurav, I will begin with you because I know that you are supporting Holland this tournament. The Dutch have had their chances from strikers like Van Persie, Klaas Van Huntelaar, and even Wesley Sneijder has been absolutely brilliant with his passing from midfield. But they just seem to have lacked that finishing quality to actually make all the hard work count with a goal. What went wrong with them?
I don't know, just not able to finish. No one is able to finish those goals. Those matters a lot, right? I mean, maybe too many power names in the team, and everyone is trying to prove their best, but just not able to finish it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of complaints of Arjen Robben playing too much of a solo game, refusing to pass to his teammates. Would you blame Robben in particular as a Dutch fan?
No, nobody particular to be blamed on, but again, it has to be a team performance. I mean, you saw Denmark playing so well against Netherlands. I mean, defending like a team, attacking like a team. That's what you need to do, but single players, I mean, trying to score, never going to happen. Not in Euros, at least.
Yeah, and they have a very key encounter against Portugal today. Do you think Netherlands will scrape through?
I'm hoping Netherlands would scrape through. It will be really nice to watch them in the quarterfinals.
Yes, after all, we had predicted Netherlands to be one of the finalists this time again with Spain, very reminiscent to what happened back during the 2010 World Cup. And another interesting team, which is under scrutiny right now, isn't not as much scrutiny. I think they've been overperforming compared to how they came into the tournament. Niranjan, England came into this tournament under a lot of cloud because we all thought Harry Redknapp would get the job, and the FA went about appointing Roy Hodgson a shock decision, according to many, a few weeks before the tournament. To be fair, he's had very little time to prepare for this. England go in as underdogs. They've had injuries to Gareth Barry, Frank Lampard. Rio Ferdinand's been overlooked with absolutely no reasons provided to him. Yet, they've managed to hold off France and beat Sweden. Is Roy Hodgson's old-fashioned 4-4-2 rigid formation with a big target man, Andy Carroll, number 9, actually working for them?
Well, I think Roy Hodgson is bringing all his experience into playing this Euro. He has had this effect on players, especially in Sweden. He started this managerial career in Sweden, and I think that experience gave him the the initiative against Sweden to go ahead and win it. And I think the players are united, and I think the part of Wayne Rooney not playing has actually spurred the other strikers to perform well. And I don't think Andy Carroll is going to have a major impact apart from the last game, because that was Roy Hodgson's tactical brilliance, because he exploited the weakness of the Swedish defense in the air, and then bringing on someone like Theo Walcott when the game was looking to go out of England's control. I think it's more of Roy Hodgson, his tactical brilliance that is keeping England in bay, inside of qualifying for the quarterfinals. I think it's all Roy Hodgson. I think his experience of being in international managerial post for a long time is helping England out.
Absolutely, but let me just touch upon a few points here. I mean, Wayne Rooney is definitely back for the Ukraine game. Who would you remove from the lineup to bring him into the team?
I think probably I'll take out Carroll, Andy Carroll. Yes.
And you're happy with Welbeck and Rooney starting up front?
Yeah, they have an understanding from their Manchester United time. So I think it's a good idea to have Carroll as probably an impact substitute. And I don't think he should start with Theo Walcott given his performance in the last game, because I think James Milner gives a good cover for the defense. And I think Hodgson's idea of the eight people I saw two lines of defense in the first game against France, and they know that England only needs a draw or a win to qualify. So I don't think they're going to risk going for the win this time around. So I think Theo Walcott and Andy Carroll might come on as impact substitutes than starting the game.
Okay, that's a very interesting point of view, Niranjan. Let me move on to Gautam. Gautam is a supporter of Spain, and as we all know, Spain undoubtedly are the favourites to win it again. They won Euro 2008 thanks to a midfield masterclass from Javi Hernandez. He's still very much a fulcrum of their midfield. Interestingly, Gautam, if you notice, Spain played their first game against Italy without a striker. Was that almost a sign of overconfidence?
No, I think without Ferran Torres not in form and we are injured, I guess they had no option, no other option to play Fabregas as the forward. But they do have a really good midfield line who can break through into the forward lines and score. And that's what we saw. I mean, Fabregas scored a good goal. And again, he scored against Ireland as well after he changed to Fernando Torres. So there's goals are there in their team. But what the best part about them is the midfield, the maestro. I mean, they don't lose the ball, first of all. Even if they lose it, they have Xabi Alonso and Sergio Busquets to cover that up. I mean, the defense, again, Sergio Ramos, one of the best defenders in the world. I guess Fernando Torres
Absolutely.
now coming into form, I think they look one of the strongest sides to win it.
But one thing that concerns me, Gautam, as someone who admires Spain, I'm not as much a Spain fan as I am an admirer of Spain. We saw the way Barcelona play. I mean, Spain is very similar to the way the way the Spanish play is very similar to the way the Barcelona plays, mainly owing to the fact that a lot of the Barcelona players are in the Spanish system as well. We saw what Chelsea did to them. They just stood back, shut, they parked around three, four defenders in front, they just played the counter-attack game. Do you fear that if Spain gets to the later stages of the tournament, say the quarter finals, people will adopt
Yes,
the
that
tactic
is,
that Roberto Di Matteo used for Chelsea?
and
Do you fear
that
that
is a
happening?
fear. Yeah, that is a fear against, I think, Germany, if we face Germany, wherever we face them. But I think different tactics. I mean, you have to do against Barcelona. They had to do it because you can't win the ball against them. Even if you win it, they win the ball back by pressing you hard. So that's the one way that you got to win against Barcelona. Same with Spain. I mean, they won't give the ball away so easily, and even if they do, I mean, they win it back really well. So you have to do what you have to do to win a game.
So do you fear that it's likely to happen sooner than or later, that Spain will be found out, saying that if you allow them to attack, let's just sit and let's just look for that one opportunity to counterattack and get that goal to beat them?
Right, that will happen. Mostly that will happen.
Gaurav, let me just put across this question to you, because Spain are definitely the favorites to win this. And as Gautam rightly said, he fears that Spain will be tactically overmastered with a tactic where you just sit in front of the goal, park your bus, and then just hit them with a counter-attack. Which team do you think is basically the underdog in this tournament who is likely to spring a surprise and maybe come out and win this tournament and maybe even beat Spain on the way to the finals?
I think Italy or Germany would be, I mean, favorites to win against Spain at this point of time. After Spain, I think Germany are playing a pretty good game with a good midfield and a very good forward playing well, Mario Gomez. And their
Absolutely.
defense looks strong as well. But I think Italy is one of those teams who can drag you till the 120th minute and get a draw somehow and then win it off on penalties. So that will be two challenges for Spain on the way to the finals.
And Niranjan, just to put this question forward to you, I mean, well, Italy is one team that he says, but I don't see them as underdogs. Italy have won tournaments before. Do you see any other team which is likely to spring a surprise?
I think it's going to be England on the way. But for them to spring a surprise, say they come second in the group and they're going to face Spain in the quarterfinals. I think they have to reproduce the performance of their first game where they were technically sound and defensively very strong against France. And the counter-attacking of the last 30 minutes in the game against Sweden. If they want to combine both of it, then I think England has a very good chance of beating Spain, because I think Spain's defense is a little bit falling apart without Puyol. So I think England can do it. It's going to need Wayne Rooney at top of his form, and it's going to need someone like Theo Walcott to make an even bigger impact than what he did in Sweden. And I think the defense has to hold up here, better than the 5 minutes of madness in against Sweden. So I think England can do it.
England can do it. I think that's an interesting thought as well, because when I look at the England team, the weakest link in that chain is James Milner. He's looked very unconvincing at right midfield. Do you see anyone else slotting into that position there, Ranjan?
No, it's going to be difficult because you can have Theo Walcott replacing him, but I don't think Walcott is as defensively strong as Milner, because if you see Milner is covering up for Glenn Johnson. Now, Glenn Johnson is sometimes very good coming forward, but then when he comes forward,
Absolutely, absolutely.
he needs someone to back him up. I think that is where Milner has No, I'm not saying Milner is very enterprising or he does lose the ball sometimes, but I think he does keep holding up job pretty well. So I think there's anybody who can replace Milner, especially with that the offensive tactics of Hodgson.
I agree to that because I've seen Roy Hodgson manage different teams, and any unit of Roy Hodgson is always industrious. I think that's a philosophy that he's woven into this fabric of the English team as well. Gautam, I know you're supporting Spain, but who are your second favourites after Spain?
Not second favourites, I guess Germany is the favourite to win the Euros for me. I mean, their defence looks really amazing. They defend high, they defend deep. They can attack, they can counter-attack. I mean, they can do everything with players. I mean, Bastian Schweinsteiger and Thomas Muller and Mario Gomez in form, I think they are the team to beat right now, more than Spain. And Mesut Ozil, they have Mesut Ozil as well. So I think they're the team to beat. And I'm hoping that Spain will win. But if you want to say that who will win, if you want to ask me that, I'll say Germany will win this Euro.
Yes, Germany have looked every bit as enterprising as they have been in the past as well. So on that note, let me just take it to the second stage of today's discussion, which is I know you guys support a lot of these clubs. And you're obviously watching the Euros. You're obviously watching a lot of young talent come through. I've seen a few names. Pilar of Czech Republic, he's looked impressive in the left wing. Alan Zagov of Russia, he's looked very enterprising up front, scoring goals for the Russian. They were so unlucky to find themselves knocked out of the Euros. Gaurav, let me begin with you. You're an Arsenal fan, you finished third, you've not won trophies for a very long time. Obviously, the fans are demanding Arsene Wenger to bring some silverware home. If I were to ask you a transfer wish list, if you could name three players from positions that you feel are necessary to be accommodated within the Arsenal 11 to actually seriously be title contenders next season, who are those three?
I think if you ask me three names, I would definitely go for Kaka, who is available on the transfer list this season. And getting Oliver Giroud be a good deal for us. Podolski on the left side plays amazingly well. So I think with Jack Wilshere back next season, I think it should be a really good season for Arsenal, and definitely hope for some silverware this time.
Okay, that's interesting. But Kaka, do you really think Arsenal can afford the wages that he demands and the amount of money that he would cost to prize away from Real Madrid? After all, they paid close to 64 million euros to get him. They're not going to give him away cheap, are they?
It's a wish list, Chandra.
Okay, I think I should have put a prefix to that, realistic. But it's good to see that you're interested in these players as well. Niranjan, I know you're a Liverpool fan, and I know the pains that we went through last season. We finished below Everton. Eighth position is simply unacceptable for a club of Liverpool's stature. Your transfer wish list, please.
Well, I think last season, the difference between Liverpool finishing eighth, they finished eighth, and the Liverpool probably winning the title was someone like Robin van Persie. Because we needed a poacher, we needed a clinical striker who can put the ball behind the net every time he gets into that zone. And I thought Liverpool was very wasteful in front of the goal, proof the number of times they hit the bar. So my wish list, if I want to be outlandish, I want someone like Robin van Persie or say a Fernando Torres in full form. And probably, a playmaker, because I think Gerrard's getting old, and they needed someone in this role who can occupy his place. So a striker and a playmaker is my choice.
A striker and a playmaker is your choice. Okay, I'll get back on the Liverpool towards the on my wish list on Liverpool towards the end of the show. Gautam, Manchester United fine. You were so close to winning that title. It was goal difference that ultimately buried it in the end. Does that call for another striker who can get you goals like what, say, Ruud van Nistelrooy used to get for you 6 years ago? And are you also looking to address the left-back position? Because Evra has been far less than convincing this season, hasn't he?
Yes, he has been. He looks like he's fatiguing a lot. I mean, playing a lot of games every now and then. So I think Leighton Baines is one of the key players who can replace him. Absolute tremendous left back. I mean, he can attack, he can take penalties, free kicks and whatnot he can do. One guy that I want for the left back position is him, Leighton Baines. And for midfield, I think Luka Modric is already probably a wish list or whatever you say. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson is going for him this time. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be with Harry out of Tottenham Hotspur. I think he might come to United.
forward line, I think Lewandowski will be one player I want to, want him to join United, because now Shinji Kagawa is here, so his forward partner should be here as well.
Yeah, Lewandowski is an interesting choice, but unfortunately Borussia Dortmund have put a 40 million price tag on him. I think that is very overrated, because I don't think Lewandowski is worth close to 40 million. No striker is worth close to 40 million today. I know we paid, as Liverpool fans, we paid 35 million for Andy Carroll. We paid the price for it, but we're just hoping that he'd really hit back form. And just to put my view on this, I'm of course a Liverpool fan. I've been supporting Liverpool for the last 12 years, ever since I started playing football. And as Niranjan rightly said, we need a creative playmaker. Of course, Gerrard is 32 years old right now. His legs are tiring out. He cannot play 38 games a season in full fitness and give it 100%. I'd really like a creative midfield role to be filled. But let me put forward a very realistic transfer wish list. And I'm using the word realistic here because I am aware of the players who are currently in the transfer market. Barcelona, incidentally, have put Ibrahim Affele, the Dutch winger, for sale at a price of 6 million. Milos Krasic of Juventus, another Serbian winger, who has not been able to find a regular spot in Juventus' starting lineup, primarily because they don't play wingers. Milos Krasic is available for a cut price of £7 million, and I always thought Liverpool was a team that lacked width. I know Stuart Downing is someone that we'd purchased for £18 million, but he's never really done justice to that price tag he'd come ahead with. So I'd really like to see Milos Krasic and Ibrahim Affele being brought into the Liverpool setup, primarily because I feel they are players who would suit Brendan Rodgers. He wants to play the Barcelona style. He's done that with Swansea. Swansea had a passing success percent of more than 93% last season. And incidentally, in terms of pass completion percentage, they were the sixth best team in entire Europe. Now talk about that. Here's a team that finished mid-table in England with no big names, but they've managed to actually get into the record books on par with a team like Barcelona. So my wish list would definitely include Milos Krasic. It would include Ibrahim Affele and a striker who could get goals. I mean, as Niranjan rightly pointed out earlier, we hit the woodwork 44 times or even more, if I'm mistaken, last season. So we really need a poacher in front of goal. Gautam, thank you for joining us. I really hope that your team, Netherlands, comes up with a strong performance against Portugal today. I don't want to see Portugal through because I hate Ronaldo for all obvious reasons. Gautam, I really hope Netherlands crack it today.
Yeah, I hope too that Chandra.
And Niranjan, yeah, sorry Gautam, you were saying something?
Should be a cracker of a game tonight.
Yeah, should be a cracker of a game tonight. I remember the way Portugal beat Netherlands back in the 2004 Euros. Cracker of a goal from Manisha to get that started up after Van der Sar was beaten. Niranjan, interesting, very interesting to see England perform the way they are right now, primarily because for once they've come into a tournament with absolutely no expectations and pressure from the media. I guess that's taken a lot of load off their shoulders, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
So we'll hope that
to the semi-final stage.
Oh, semi-final stage. I think I would like to say it's over optimistic, but then with the way they've been playing right now, I don't think I'll be surprised if they make it that far. Gautam, I know that you're fearing Germany, but I think the Spanish have enough in them to actually overcome any sort of park in the bus tactics that other teams employ. I think Fernando Torres looks in great form, and I think he's likely to get goals. So let's hope that your Spanish team, the Spanish Armada, sails its navy with a lot of flags waving.
Hope the same, Chandra. Hope the same.
Hope the same. So, audience, once again, thank you for joining us. I think we hope you enjoyed the first show of Kickoff, our football podcast. As always, we're looking forward to hear from you. Please write to us, write to Gautam Chakravarty, who's the coordinator of all these audio podcast shows here. Or alternatively, you could log into our Facebook page and leave comments, or in case you're interested in joining us for one of our future podcasts. Of course, we will be keeping close tabs on the Euros as they progress to final stages, and the transfer market as all these big clubs look to spend lavishly and bring in top talents into their team and hope for glory. So until next week, thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.